This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome to the greatest show in sport.
The biggest football game in the history of Western civilization. What a ride it's been.
It's now time for Around the NFL Power Rankings here on Sean and Bobby. In case you did not know, we are your home of the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Sean Treif alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Belt.
Got you down.
We're live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. By the way, Chris Arnold texted me, said Jamie Foxx is a must-see on Netflix. Did the Tolos agree or disagree, Pepe, in the last segment?
Yes, a lot of them says it was very great, very good, but lots of crying in there too, very emotional.
Okay.
But they liked it.
All right. Maybe Friday night. Maybe Friday night I'll check it out.
You don't want to come in here with puffy eyes Friday morning?
That's right. I cried enough from Aaron Rodgers yesterday, last night, which we'll review tomorrow. Along with Mike Tirico, getting you set for Cowboys Buccaneers. Where are the Dallas Cowboys thought of nationally?
They're creeping up a little. It's not a giant jump or anything else, but they've started to creep up a little. The rankings are starting to reflect that a little bit. The Cowboys average out between the six outlets that I check each week, the national outlets. The Cowboys are averaging out ranked 21st in the NFL after they were ranked 23rd last week. They were as high as 19th. According to The Athletic, and then the lowest one they were at was 23, according to Yahoo. So they're moving up a little bit.
Pepe, you have the scoreboard from last week to grade us?
Yes, and we all got at least one wrong because our number one team all took an L, the Detroit Lions. So four buzzers for that. We'll start with RJ, who's not here today. Last week he had number one Detroit, two Kansas City, three Philly, four Buffalo, five Minnesota.
He gets buzzed for that too because Buffalo beat Detroit.
Okay.
Sean Sharif, you had one Detroit, two Buffalo, close, three Philly, four Baltimore, five Kansas City.
Okay.
Bobby Belt.
3-1-1.
One Detroit, two Philadelphia, three Minneapolis, four Buffalo, five Green Bay.
What's that?
That's one. Really, the one who's got the closest here, and I'm annoyed by it, it's Sean. Sean's the closest because he had Buffalo and Detroit 1-2. Nobody
else. Still have me?
You didn't have Buffalo, too.
I don't. One Detroit, two Philly, three Buffalo, four Kansas City, five Minnesota. So
yours is the closest because we all had Buffalo. We didn't have Buffalo right next to Detroit.
You could just simplify and say, I won. I think the drama here this week is 5-1. So let's go reverse. 877-881-1053. As the champion, I will start, and I will not forget the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, good.
I'm not going to forget them this week. as I go through the standings, I'm like, oh, that's why, because the NFC North is so freaking loaded. That is why I keep forgetting them. I'm going to have Green Bay at number five. I got a little Jordan Love and Favre and Aaron Rodgers in my mind yesterday from binging the Netflix documentary. Now, Jared Sandler's going to be in here co-hosting on Friday. He's going to probably come in and say all the reasons why Green Bay is going to lose and why they're going to falter and Jordan Love's decision-making, but I feel comfortable and solid having them at five. Bob?
Yeah, I also have the Green Bay Packers at number five, and I don't know. I really probably should move them up, but it's tough because the teams ahead of them, I think, are all really solid. But, I mean, they beat down the 49ers recently by 28. They handled the Dolphins pretty easily. They go on the road in Seattle, which has not historically always been an easy place to play. They beat them by 17. And they barely lose to the Lions on the road a couple weeks ago. So, I don't know, top 10 in scoring defense and scoring offense. Probably should have them a little higher, but I've got the Green Bay Packers at number five.
At number five, I have the one seed in the AFC, Kansas City. I'm slowly moving them down. I'm almost with y'all, leaving them out of my top five, but I have them at number five, barely in my top five power rankings. The Mahomes injury was scary, but it looks, you know, he's a full participant, so it's fine there. And Hollywood Brown is now a full participant in practice this week, so he could be back for the Chiefs. So I have the Chiefs at number five.
Full participant, is that like a little Shanahan game there?
I mean, full participant, it that could get you in trouble, because I mean, if he didn't partake in, if there was any part of practice that he didn't partake in, he has to be limited, and that means he apparently was in there the whole time. So
I know who all of you are putting it for, because you're that predictable and simple, but I'm going to keep the Baltimore Ravens up here. It was the destruction of the New York Giants. That's nothing impressive, of course. But if it came down to like Baltimore against Minnesota, Baltimore against the Rams, Baltimore against the Chiefs, I'd slightly pick Baltimore today. So the Ravens are going to be my team at four.
Number four, I have the Detroit Lions. No, I'm kidding. I don't. I was just, you said I was predictable, and so I wanted to spice up for just 3 seconds. It's the Minnesota Vikings. I am that predictable. Minnesota, look, they're one of these teams that, as frustrating as they are, they do continue to win football games in terms of, like, even though they shouldn't, they're the opposite of Kansas City, where Kansas City's output says you shouldn't be winning these games. Minnesota's talent just says they shouldn't be winning games, but they're playing these games really well. They're handling teams without a problem. And so even though some of their peripherals on defense are starting to trend down a little bit from where they were at earlier in the season, and that was what they were leaning so heavily on, I can't ignore the way that they've continued to play and the way Kevin O'Connell just, I don't know that I trust a coach more than Kevin O'Connell right now in the NFL. So I've got Minnesota four.
Same for me. Vikings horn. Minnesota Vikings number four. I mean, look, they're so close to being the one seed, but yet so far away, it seems like. Like Detroit, Green Bay, I still feel like are better teams than them, but they're playing out of their mind right now in Minnesota. So I have the Vikings at four.
You guys.
What is your issue with Minnesota?
They beat in Indianapolis, Jacksonville. This is in a row. Indy, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Chicago, Arizona, Atlanta, Chicago. Look at that schedule. I don't just be a simp to say, oh, it's just wins. All those wins, I can't deny. You got to be consistent if you're going to call someone out for the flaws of beating scrubs, Cowboys, last three or four. But, and you're replacing Sam Darnold probably next year, so you don't believe in the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They're beating scrubs, mm-hmm. and you have them as the fourth best team in the National Football League.
Yes, they did beat Green Bay on the road. They also whooped up on Houston. Indy has not been great, but Indy's not a bad
team. That was when they were red hot. That was when Sam Darnold was the MVP.
Arizona.
Things have changed.
Arizona's played good. But, I mean, you also can only play who you play.
Oh, okay. All right.
So here's what I'm saying. You just.
Then McCarthy should come back.
I believe the first line out of you just now was how Baltimore handled the Giants. So I don't want to hear about the Bears and the
Falcons.
They
have an MVP. You just told me he has better all-world numbers than his MVP season.
Yeah, he does. He's been good.
So that's more of a foundational deciding
piece. I don't like it. I don't love this. I don't love that I'm putting Minnesota up there. I don't like the team.
I'm sure we all have, I think, the same 1, 2, 3 around the NFL power rankings. My number three. Well, maybe we don't. Maybe we don't. I think someone here, I think both of them are going to have Philly higher. I'm not. I still have the Eagles at number three. Dominique Foxworth said that Jalen Hurts is actually the beneficiary of pretty privilege. Is the passing game fixed? Jalen Hurts seems to think so.
Jalen Hurts is benefiting from pretty privilege. because he got up on that the press conference after the game,
yes.
and he acted like he was Josh Allen. Look at this man
yes.
with, it, with his Kangol,
yes.
looking like Nino Brown.
New you Jack know. City, baby. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am.
We're all with $3,000 million trillion worth of diamonds on his yeah. neck, and he acted like he just went for 400 yards for 3 weeks in a row. Man, you had one good week passing, and everyone forgets it when he starts batting his eyes at you. I could see Graziano in the meeting got all uncomfortable. Was like, oh, I think he's the best quarterback in the league.
Despite him being a very, very good-looking man, no doubt about it, he's sharp. Whoever does his facial hair, if it's him, he's got skills. Other people... I'm not convinced the passing game is totally fixed. It was impressive they did it against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just trying to decide what's the formula defensively for facing them in the postseason. I'm just forcing Hurts. I'm stacking up and loading up on Saquon, and I'm hoping I have an opportunity to frustrate A.J. Brown early on. The problem, though, Bobby, is the defense is better. The defense is better than the offense, isn't it?
The defense has been complete shutdown. That's been
so the Vic Fangio hype landed. That became a reality.
It clicked here in definitely for sure. And then they're leaning into trying to fix the defense through the draft and everything else that they did and bringing back, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, just the different things that they've done. I think that that's been a big boost for them. But yeah, I mean, it's the running game. It's the defense. Those are the things that have just completely boosted them to where they played as well as they have. That's why they're my number three. I was very, very close to having them number two.
Yeah.
I was really close. But
W.I. Payton will.
I still think that there's I don't think Kellen Moore trusts Jalen Hurts throwing the ball consistently. It doesn't look like it. So because of that, I think that when teams say, all right, we're gonna lock down, we're just gonna load the box, and Jalen, you gotta beat us with your arm, and you're gonna have to hope that your connection is good enough with the receiver and y'all are good enough friends at this moment. To be able to beat us. And so I think that's going to be a challenge. I'm going to take Philly at number three.
I did so much thinking for this number three team. I did so much thinking that I had to just leave it the same as last week. Buffalo is number three, which is crazy. A road win, I know, but God, Detroit, Philly, they're just really, really good. What's wrong with you? A lot of thinking. I know, but I had to leave Buffalo three.
This is it. All right, you're filling in for Choppy today is what you're telling me. That is an RJ Choppy pick right there. How could you have Buffalo three? Two feels like it might be a stretch.
I mean, I don't know what to say. Two teams, Detroit and Philly. I mean, I still think Detroit's really. I still think
they
Detroit's
just went
the best.
Into Detroit and beat them, handled them.
As hurt as Detroit is right now, that's not concerning you at all.
I heard Dan Campbell drop not one but two F-bombs on the radio.
Okay.
Like that's convincing for me.
Fair.
Number two for me is Detroit, and that means my number one, Peyton's number three, is the Buffalo Bills. I am so happy for Josh Allen. I'm so happy for myself in my Josh Allen quarterback scouting genius brain years ago, telling all of DFW how much better he was than Dak Prescott. Everyone killed me. Everyone destroyed me. I was worried for Josh this year, not having Diggs. I was worried that the true superior quarterback argument would expose him, not having, you know, number one wide receiver. What happens when Devontae leaves? What happens when Tyreek leaves? What happens when, you know, your number one is not around and Josh Allen is going to win the MVP? And the offense has been rolling, as you said yesterday. Lions 2, Bills 1.
I have the Lions 2 as well, and the Bills number 1. Lions, the number of injuries we went through yesterday that they've had to weather, it's absurd. And eventually that's probably going to catch up to them. And as much as Dan Campbell's going to dig in and lean into this and try and rally guys, there's only so much that you can do. So, I mean, Buffalo going in there and winning the way they did and then, you know, barely losing to the Los Angeles Rams in a big shootout. They're on such a tremendous roll right now, and that big-time blowout loss to the Ravens feels so far away. So I have Buffalo number one.
I have Philadelphia number two. I mean, look, they put up some good numbers against a really good Pittsburgh defense. I mean, Pittsburgh had, I think, that the two fumbles, the two takeaways there, and Philly's defense was able to stop them, beat them by double digits. So I have Philadelphia two, and then Detroit, I still think they're the best team in the NFL. Really do. I know they're banged up, but I mean, they put up 40 points.
I can't kill him too much for, you know, 1 week. We've had Detroit up there every single week. So one home loss against maybe the best team in the league. I can't kill you, but
three feels
that's steep.
Strong.
That's steep.
So recap, what do you have, Sean?
Buffalo, Detroit, filthy, Baltimore, Green Bay, with apologies to the Vikings, Chiefs, and Rams.
I have Buffalo, Detroit, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Green Bay, with apologies to Baltimore, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Arizona, Seattle, basically every other team but the Chiefs.
I have number one, Detroit, two, Philly, three, Buffalo, four, Minnesota, five, Kansas City, and apologies to Jerry Jones because I did not put the Cowboys in for the 10th straight week.
877-881-1053 is the Frank LaFrego Injury Attorney text line and the way for you to get in one through five or five through one. I'm very excited for this. I'm super excited for this. Are you going to repeat the ham and turkey, or are you going with the Christmas prime rib? It's a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, to get you ready for your Christmas cook live on the FanCam, Twitch, and Zoom after this. I have been so eager and waiting for this, and then Bobby Belt just reminded me I can't start with what I've been anticipating so much to discuss with Matt Pittman, a Meat Church Wednesday here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. He is the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, and I just wanted to go straight to the prime rib, salting it night before, smoking it, searing it, all these things. But then Bobby reminded me of the number one Jerry Jones story from yesterday.
And that is squirrel brains, Matt. How do you cook, prepare squirrel brains? How do you prepare squirrel in general? Because it wasn't just Jerry, apparently. Then Shannon Sharp was like, oh, yeah, that's what us country folks eat. We eat squirrel all the time. Have you ever had squirrel, and how do you prepare it?
Squirrel was actually the first thing I hunted. I took a hunter's education in when I was 8 years old in Tennessee. My papaw took me out. I had a double barrel 410 shotgun, pulled the first trigger.
Seems a bit much.
Yeah, was there a squirrel left?
No, 410's like very light, you know, light load. So anyway, he told me to hold on and not go get it. And then I pulled the other trigger. And anyway, I just remember I walked down to pick up this squirrel and the first one never fell. And as I go to pick up the second one, the first one fell and I thought it was coming after me because I shot his buddy. I was scared to death with my man. So the first wild game I ever had, my mamaw cooked those squirrels, but I don't remember eating the brains, and I can't say that I've ever done that. That's some country ass stuff.
Right there. How does the squirrel itself taste though? And have you had it since, or was it just that one time?
I haven't had it in a long time, to be honest with you. I think it's a bigger deal in Arkansas, and I remember them telling me it tastes like chicken, and so I've said that my whole life, and I don't know if it tastes like chicken or not, yeah. But.
But why anyway. Would it be any different, you know, body-wise from frog or rabbit, you know? Like, why would squirrel be that much different?
I mean, they say it's a rat with a fuzzy tail. Would you eat rat?
Oh, nah, I can't go there. Those things, those suckers are filthy. But, you know, I got these big pecan trees in my backyard, well, and my 12-year-old's got these high-powered pellet guns, and he's been wanting to nail some. I said, well, I mean, I guess we could cook them up.
What about raccoon?
I've never done that either. That wasn't something I'd always heard of that. And I know that's been running around the NFL a little bit lately, but that's not something. I take that back. We did have that one time. We in Alabama, somebody had killed one. I had it, but I don't remember much about it. I was pretty young and that was it. So just not something my family did too often.
Is there anything you've eaten from Alabama or Tennessee or anything else that during your upbringing you looked at and you went, oh, when I got older, I found out nobody else does that here in Texas. Like, did you find there was a raccoon or a squirrel type thing you used to eat or hunt that isn't common here?
No, I mean, I'm pretty attached to my southern roots. So my granddaddy had a huge pond, and we would go shoot these big bullfrogs with our BB guns, and then, you know, that's how I got into eating frog legs. And so, you know, I thought it was normal. When you have things at a young age, you don't know any better. You know, you just kind of feel like it is what it is. So. I'm game for it all.
Mine are scrapple and chip beef. A lot of people, I have to explain what scrapple is around here, cream chip beef. Matt, familiar?
Yeah, I've got some friends in Pennsylvania that do scrapple. It's not something that I've cooked, but they've made it for me at barbecue events and things like that. So definitely was a fan of that. See, that's more like regional roots, like where you come from. It's important to you as you grow up.
Matt Pittman, it's a Meat Church Wednesday on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Okay, how many people this used to just... be my family. We're just repeating the turkey. We're repeating the turkey. People are repeating the ham for Christmas. What percentage of people you think are just doing the repeat? And if not, what is the number one Christmas cook?
Yeah, I mean, my eyes were really open to the repeating of turkey, like you said, because we sell a brine. And, you know, I kind of thought when the year we launched it, it'd be big in November, but then we were shocked at how much we sell in December. So that taught me that, man, people are cooking turkeys and ham. And we released a ham video today, and it's never really been my thing, but it's easy and it's cheap. So I think that's why people do it. And, you know, for me, I'm a beef guy. And so I'm going to do a whole tenderloin or a prime rib or a beef Wellington. And I think you got people that if they don't do that, it's because one, it's expensive, and two, they're intimidated by ruining an expensive piece of meat. None of them are hard to cook, to be honest with you. So I think it's pretty well split open. But you know, here I'm definitely going beef in my household for Christmas. So, enough for the turkeys. We're turkeys.
I really think there's a difference. Like I gotta have a prime or Wagyu brisket over a choice or select. I think there's a tremendous difference. Does that apply when I go prime rib shopping today or when I go tenderloin shopping?
That is a great question. I totally agree with you that on the brisket side, the more intermuscular fat, the better. I do think that you can get away with going with a lesser cut of beef on
because beef ribs to me don't matter at all, Matt. Like I can save a ton of money on choice beef ribs. There's so much fat anyway.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, there's not, you know, you're not getting a lot of fat in a tenderloin. So I think you can go choice there. Now, before I say all this, it's the holidays. If you want to splurge, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially on prime rib, grocery stores around here are going to be running sales this week for sure on prime rib. And in fact, they'll take the whole primal, they'll cut it up, and they'll sell the end pieces that don't look as pretty even cheaper. So I know my HEB in Waxahachie last year, they were running $5.99 a pound for choice rib roast. And so, you know, if people don't know, a prime rib doesn't mean that it's prime grade. That's just, you know, the name of the cut. But, you know, you can buy choice and it will be fantastic. And you can even cut it up into steaks if you're not looking to do a prime rib. So I would definitely go take advantage of those sales right now.
So in all of your prime rib videos, I notice you like salting it the night before. So help me and others understand when salting is good and bad. Sometimes when I feel like I'm like going to marinate it and salt it up, but I'm sucking all the moisture out and it's a bad thing. When do I decide whether it's good or bad? And why do you always salt the prime rib when you can the night before? And then you season on top of it and the next day and it's not too salty?
Yeah, so this is actually a little bit tricky or just kind of important to note. So a lot of people do salt in advance. And so it will tenderize the meat. So you got to be mindful. So if you salt the night before, a lot of that salt will absorb into the meat. And so if you go to season the next day, you don't want to put a bunch of salt on it. You don't want to use like a salty rub. In fact, I would probably just put some pepper on it if you like that. Or you can make like a compound butter, soften up butter and put herbs and things like that in it and garlic and slather it on top of that. You don't actually have to put any more seasoning on it. But so let's go back before prime rib to like a steak. When I'm cooking big, thick steaks, I will salt them for an hour a pound and I'll rinse them off. So in this case, usually I'm going to leave the salt on it, but there's two options. You can dry brine your prime rib by leaving the salt on it and not rinsing it off. So if you go that route, you've got to be mindful of how much salt you put on it. It is hard to oversalt it though, because a prime rib is a big piece of meat. And if you think about it, you're seasoning the outside. And when you slice it, you're only getting a very thin slice of that meat, based on the direction that you're cutting it. So I definitely like to salt mine the night before, put some, I go the butter route the next day. I soften up a butter, like I said, put herbs and garlic in it and slather it in that, cook it like that. So it'll add some moisture to it and some flavor.
Now, are you smoking this or smoking then searing it?
Well,
or searing then smoking it.
can I insert another question before that on the different types of prime rib? Cause that makes a difference.
Yeah.
So if you, you know, you can do a boneless prime rib, a bone-in prime rib, or a standing rib roast. So a standing rib is where you would remove the bones from it, and then you can truss them back on with butcher twine. The reason I bring that up is, do I want to sear it or not? I think most people, you know, your families, if you're not cooking outside, they're, you know, going 350 degrees, and they're just putting the roast in the oven. Same applies if you're going to put it in a smoker. Now, I do like to sear mine, and I would do it at the end, just like, you know, you would reverse sear a steak. And so here's a really easy cook method. So you can go you can cook at 350 degrees and you cook it to 125 internal. The rib roast is going to rise 5 more degrees to hit 130, which is medium rare. That's all you got to do. Now, if you want to sear it, then I would be pulling it closer to 120 And then I would be rolling around on a hot fire or cast iron for a couple minutes aside to kind of get it closer to that 125 and then rest it. If you want medium, then, you know, I think that's actually, I'm not even going to that. I would just do exactly what I said, because the ends of the rib roast will be more done. So in my household, my wife doesn't like medium rare. She likes medium. So I'll slice the end pieces for her, and I'll save the dead middle, which is like 100% pink for me.
Listen to this barbecue science here.
100% pink for me too, Matt. Matt Pittman from Meat Church joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, so this is a question for both Matt and Sean really quickly. We've asked before about Cincinnati chili with the Bengals coming to town. We've asked about Philly cheesesteak. Tampa coming to town. Do you know what Tampa is famous for?
Strip clubs.
Other than that, do you know what food they're famous for, other than the buffet at the strip club?
I don't.
Cubano. That is where the Cubano sandwich started. And I just did a quick search here. I see here, that's what it said. They're claiming that they've got it. It started in West Tampa in 1900. Now, what I'm seeing here, Matt, is that you've actually cooked up some Cubanos before with folks over at Traeger and done some different things. So how do you prep a good Cubano?
You got to have a sandwich press, you know. I think we did those like with ham and some mustard and like a pickle relish type stuff. It's been a while since we did it. But the big important thing is, you know, kind of like a panini, where in the end you're going to kind of like press it down. So you're griddling the outside of the bread and getting it like nice and crunchy. I'm definitely a big fan of that. I didn't know that's where it came from.
You cooked for the team last week. What are you doing Tampa related this week?
So I'm not actually doing anything with the team this week, but it's kind of cool. I've got, when we, you know, speaking of Tampa, when we went down for that playoff game, like, you know, when we made the playoffs.
wait, who made the playoffs, Alabama or Dallas when they made the playoffs?
Oh.
Wow, cut me.
Hey, he's an SMU guy. He's a Mustang guy now.
Yeah, he is. He's happy to.
So took my son down to that Brady's last game, and I think I've told you this story before, but the first quarter of the game, the two guys in front of me hated me. And then anyway, we won the game and we've become friends. And so they're flying up here. I'm hosting them this week. So they're going to sit beside me at the game, which is going to be super cool. So I'm excited about that.
Nice. Meat Church, of course, the Hail Mary is the official Dallas Cowboys seasoning. Meat Church Supplies, my buddy in Virginia who just got a Rec-Tec. He's like, I need seasonings. Matt was kind enough to hook him up with his first holiday set of seasonings. Now, you have the ham video, but I've never cooked or seen a pork crown roast. What is this? And do people do this for Christmas as well?
Yeah. You know, we thought we had done videos on all of our big recipes, especially for the holidays. And this year, we realized that back in 2015, I wrote a recipe for a crown roast of pork. And we'd never done a video on it. So it's what I call a classic. I don't see it nearly as much anymore, but it's a rack of pork with the bones Frenched out, you know, kind of just strung together in the shape of a crown and butcher twined together. And another thing, I mentioned HEB earlier, but this time of year, you can go to your local grocery store and they usually will have it. And if they don't, they will usually make it for you. And if not, they're easy to put together. But we stuffed it with a sausage stuffing recipe that I have on meatchurch.com. And then we glazed it with a really delicious glaze. It was $53 for the roast. It made 14 chops. And I'm like, $53 to, that's a lot of people. You know, you can feed a lot of people with that for $50. So, and it looks really pretty on your, if you're trying to impress, putting a crown roast in the center of the table, it's a pretty good looking centerpiece. Maybe the best looking centerpiece.
What is the cook time on like the average prime rib? Is it 7 pounds? Remind us of the cook time, the temp, and then the cook time and the temp for the pork roast.
Yeah. So, you know, it obviously depends on how big it is. You know, how many bones your rib roast is. If you're feeding a big crowd and you're getting like a 7-bone one, I would cut that in half or even cut it in 3 pieces so that you can get your cook time down and you can nail the internal temperature, the middle of it, right? The challenge is getting the middle of these things cooked. So, you know, you're going to be budgeting, you know, a couple hours on the prime rib, maybe 3, depending on your temperature. I should have said that. If you're smoking this outside, you're doing 250, 275, then you're probably going to need 3 hours. But if you're going a little hotter, like 350, then you can bring that cook time down. Similar actually on the crown roast. So I feel like all things at the holidays are somewhere in the 3 hour range, but you know, if you're running short on time, you can always increase the temperature when you're cooking and, make sure you budget enough time. And these big meats can be done early. If we always eat like a late lunch for the holidays, like 2 o'clock. So, you know, try to have your meat done at like 1:30 and just like tint it with foil and let it hang out there and rest while you're finishing up your sides. And try to eat on time, which I never do.
You are now officially set for the holidays with a Meet Church Wednesday. Matt Pittman, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys. Fantastic stuff as always, brother. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yeah, you guys have a Merry Christmas. Talk to you soon.
So good. Matt Pittman live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. I asked Bobby to break down the Dallas Cowboys penalty problem. Is it really that much of an issue? The NFL team with the most penalties makes the playoffs almost every year, so why are the Cowboys' penalties so concerning? That's next and Below the Bell right here on 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
All penalties are not created equal, and the Dallas Cowboys are proof of that. Let's talk about it. So, Sean brought this up. Was this Monday you brought this up initially?
I'd get lost in my genius ideas.
I believe it was Monday because I don't think Choppy was here when we first brought it up. But the idea of Dallas has been penalized a lot, has had a lot of really what feels like dumb penalties.
For years.
And
14 the other day, season high.
And as Choppy will point out, and as you mentioned, you're like, a lot of the times you look at the teams that's most penalized, it's not necessarily a bad team. And like, for instance, right now, it's the Baltimore Ravens. That's the most penalized team in the NFL. And when you look back at, I think last year it may have been Kansas City. And then the year before that, it was Miami. Like, these are playoff teams usually that are getting the most penalties in the NFL. So I started thinking about it. I was like, it can't be, though, that their penalties, you can't do some of the dumb things we see Dallas do.
And this year it's Baltimore, Tennessee, Jets, Cowboys, Panthers. Last year, Jets were the most penalized. Then Cowboys, Browns, Texans.
And when you look at over the league, like just look at league trends or whatever else. So if you look at who Miami was it in 2022.
Cowboys led the league in 2021.
It was actually in 23. It was Houston, by the way, that led the league, not the Jets. So Houston led the league with 128 over the Jets having 124. And so Houston made the playoffs, won their division. Miami made the playoffs. 21, Dallas made the playoffs. And these are good teams that you're dealing with here. So it's like, okay, well, then what's the difference? So I started looking at what are the not just pre-snap penalties. So they will talk about pre-snap penalties a lot. And, you know, you'll have the issues with false starts or delay a game, whatever else. But I started thinking about it. I was like, offsides can be somebody just trying to be aggressive and trying to get a jump. False start can be related to crowd noise or other things like that. Delay of game may be an issue of, you know, we're just trying to back it up. Like, I found there were a lot of those. When I was going through some of the delay of game penalties, a lot of them were just, I'm backing it up 5 yards to punt it, or I'm trying to draw them off sides. Different things like that. So it's almost intentional. So I looked at the penalties that I thought, there's no way that would be intentional, and that's just, you guys were dumb. You weren't prepared the right way. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. So we got 5 penalties there. Too many men on the field on defense. Too many men on the field on offense, illegal formation, illegal motion, illegal shift. Those are the ones where it's just you're not playing the game of football correctly. Now, illegal motion, I almost had a little bit of a caveat for as well, just because, for instance, Miami's got a bunch of illegal shifts and illegal motions right now because of that new quirk that Mike McDaniel had worked into their offense that the NFL's cracked down on and created a new rule
for. They kind of get like that head start.
Yeah, and so some of those, for instance, Dallas doesn't run a lot of motion, period, so they don't have illegal motions. And so to some extent, you kind of go, well, is it the worst thing in the world if you've got some illegal motions? But I still put them in there because you're supposed to be disciplined and you're supposed to be on task. So if we collect those 5 penalties, here are the teams in the NFL right now with at least 10 of those penalties.
For this season?
Yes, and their record. So I'm going to count up. 10 up to the league high. 10 penalties, 6-8 San Francisco, 4-10 Chicago, 2-12 Giants, 12-2 Minnesota. Minnesota's got a lot of illegal formation penalties. 6-8 Dallas, 3-11 Tennessee, 6-8 Miami, 3-11 Cleveland. Those are the teams with at least 10 of those penalties. The only one with a winning record is Minnesota. So you jump
Cowboys
back.
Have the fourth most.
Yes. You jump back the other way because the middle of the league is about 6, 7, 8, 9 of these penalties. Let's go to the middle of the league and look at 5 or fewer. These are the teams counting backwards. 12-2 Philadelphia, 8-6 Chargers, 8-6 Seahawks, 10-4 Packers, 9-5 Ravens, 7-7 Falcons, 12-2 Lions, 8-6 Bucks, 9-5 Broncos, 8-6 Cardinals.
Wow.
2-12 Raiders, 11-3 Bills, 13-1 Chiefs.
So there's one 500 team, and then there's one under 500. That's it.
One below and one above. There's one outlier in each, but otherwise, this is almost a dividing line for who's good and who's bad in the NFL this
season. Wow, that's pretty telling.
Now, they have called this penalty, the illegal formation penalty specifically, because I was looking through some different things. I was like, okay, let me paste that. I wanted to look back at 2023 and see, were penalties the same in 2023, or do we just have a fluky outlier year? Well, when I jump back to 2023, I noticed something wild. This year, there have been 111 illegal formation penalties called on NFL teams. Last year, for the entire season, there were 59. In fact, if you go back and look over the last 15 years, the most illegal formation penalties that have been called before 111 this year were 70 about 12 years ago.
Mm.
And so the league has really cracked down on that angle, which I haven't heard a whole lot of discussion about. I did about the shifts and the motions, but the illegal formation is a new one about people being lined up not correctly.
Well, offensive linemen lined up. They said that's been a point of emphasis. You know, I think it was the Cowboys left tackle the other. I think that was the game where, you know, you're trying to be too far off the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's one where
it may have been Udoga.
Now, if you look back over the previous years as well, same sort of thing. You look at the teams that had the most of these penalties. It's 2-15 Carolina. It's 5-12 Chargers. It's 4-13 New England. 6-11 Tennessee. 12-5 Dallas. 11-6 Miami. 8-9 Denver. Then you look back on the reverse side. Fewest penalties. 10-7 Rams. 8-9 Raiders. 9-8 Buccaneers. 9-8 Packers. 9-8 Colts. 9-8 Saints. 11-6 Eagles. 12-5 49ers. Not nearly as stark in terms of top and bottom, but still it's mostly winning records, mostly losing records. And Dallas having been an outlier there, it makes me start to wonder this. This is the thing that I took away from it, because it's interesting data, but what does it actually mean? The thing that's I'm questioning now is Dallas being 12-5 for the last 3 years. When I've said before that you will talk to some people, not common opinion, I don't want to make it sound like everybody thinks like I do, but you will talk to some people who go, yeah, we were 12-5 the last 3 years, but that could have been 14-3, or that could have been 15-2 with the team we had. When you see numbers like this and there's that strong a dividing line, does that lend credence to the thought of Dallas potentially could have been better than a 12-win team pretty consistently over the last 3 years? And this shows that their lack of discipline actually hurt them, because they are as disciplined as these teams that are 3-4-win teams.
I can only rely on memory, and I don't think that the Cowboys underachieved in win totals over the past few years. The only area in which they could have more wins is actually beating like good teams, the over 500 problem that they've had. And whenever they, this is just memory, mm-hmm. right? Whenever they face a high quality team or someone really, really good, they always make the dumber mistakes. Go ahead.
Finish that up, because I'm thinking through something. But go ahead.
They always step in it more often. Like, they're never the smarter team. They're never the team that feels like they had the tactical advantage. They never feel like the team, oh, we got one over on them because there was more preparation. The Cowboys come up with new penalties that we never heard before, like the Randy Gregory defensive holding for a D lineman against San Francisco. That's what I think of.
Yeah,
these penalties the other day. Where, you know, like AO is offsides.
Right. Defensive offside.
Yeah.
And things like that. That is one I did want to include. The only problem is the way they sort penalties, they will show you defensive offside. They don't separate it out to somebody lined up in the neutral zone. So somebody just poorly lined up, which would include these. They don't separate it out like that. But I started trying to think back, and I was like, when is a really prominent one of these penalties that I can think of that occurred that stands out from previous years? And the big one I can remember is Jalen Tolbert in overtime against the Packers was lined up for an illegal formation. That one potentially cost him. So I think the next deep dive into this that I probably need to do is I need to look and see, when have some of these penalties occurred, like against what kind of teams, if they're really good teams, and have they lost games can you make the argument, man, they had three of these dumb penalties in one game where they lost by three to Jacksonville or something like that.
Because what this all boils down to is Choppy's overall point of, are the Cowboys really undisciplined, or are they just undisciplined because we watch them 15 times more than everybody else? Everyone in the National Football League has game management problems. Yeah. Rick Stroud just said it during the expressway about Tampa Bay. Everyone screws up like the clock multiple times throughout an NFL season.
Yep.
Are the Cowboys really that dumb of a football team, that undisciplined, or are we just paying so much more attention to them? That's why I wanted to bring this up, because I saw, John Harbaugh is probably going to the Hall of Fame as a coach, and they're number one in penalties with a good team.
Yeah, and to that end, you talk about having number one in penalties with a good team. They're number one in the league in penalties, and yet they are down near, what is that? They're in the bottom eight in the NFL in these types of penalties. So a lot of their stuff is holding, pass interference, illegal, physical play stuff, and physical play style. Now, there's one team that really stands out here as being awful for the last 3 years. They have led the NFL in these types of penalties the last 2 years, or two of the 3 years, and they were in the top five another year. That's Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski, who's gotten a lot of different credit for some of the things that they've done, which, by the way, Jameis Winston going to the bench in Cleveland is the benching that didn't get nearly as much attention yesterday as the Atlanta Falcons one. But Cleveland struggled.
I'm sorry, who did you say? I was looking at Herschel Walker picked as Bahamas ambassador. For some reason, that's the number three story on ESPN. Who'd you say?
That Jameis Winston getting benched yesterday.
Oh.
That they will be starting Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Oh, wow. I thought you were bringing up Will Levis also got benched.
Will Levis, which... That was one that I did.
Benched in the game too.
We got a quick sec for me to just say something about Levis. I will always go back. I go to NFL Pro each week, and I just, from a perspective of trying to see how quarterback play is across the league, I'll go through the little filters there and say, show me all the 10 plus air yard throws in the face of pressure that were a tight window completion, because I just want to see who's been making really gutsy throws. You would be stunned the number of times Will Levis pops up on that thing. Like, he's not playing well overall. He's got his issues. But that dude makes some just gutsy throws. Maybe dumb. Maybe that's also the thing, is that he's turning the ball over. Remember, his coach just trashed him earlier this year for turnovers. But still, I was surprised that Levis got benched.
Below the belt here with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto, on a hump day edition here on DFW Sports Station. The NFL is figuring out Jaden Daniels just like they did RG3. CJ Stroud is not the quarterback we thought, and Jerod Mayo could lose his job faster than Mike McCarthy. Around the NFL, overreactions or not, is next.